Welcome to Tipping Point Show. I'm Jimmy Evans. I'm excited today to have joining me best-selling author and end-time expert and a regular guest here, Bill Salas. Bill is the founder of Prophecy Depot Ministries. He's written many end-times books, produced many DVDs. He's an author and a speaker that I respect greatly, and he's here today to talk about the war that's happening in Israel right now and where he believes this is going prophetically. This is going to be a very important discussion. Well, Bill, you have the perspective on, you know, Israel and Bible prophecy really like no one I've ever seen. You talk about the Psalm 83 war, you know, Gog and Magog, you know, all of the coming wars, the present wars. But you have a perspective, and you were on the program not too long ago talking about the Psalm 83 war specifically. But I've heard you recently talking about Zechariah 12. And this is something that I think Zechariah 12 is a very, you know, common end time scripture that talks about Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem. But why don't you start by talking about your perspective on Zechariah 12 concerning the present time?
Absolutely, Jimmy. I'm watching Zechariah 12, 1 through 6 very closely because I think it's about to find fulfillment. And what it's telling us is that the Arab-Israeli conflict is going to conclude militarily, not through politically brokered peace deals. Of course, as we air this program right now, the whole world is clamoring at a fever pace for a two-state solution. But that's not biblically endorsed, and Benjamin Netanyahu and his administration are vehemently opposed to that for justifiable reasons, Jimmy.
That's exactly right. You think there's going to be a military solution in the near term?
I do, because when we look at what happened on October 7th with the Hamas massacre, it appears that Pandora's box was opened in the Middle East. The genie got out of the bottle. It's not going to be put back into the bottle, and the lid's not going to be closed on Pandora's box. I've been watching for a long time to see if some of the prophecies involving the Israeli Defense Forces, who exist in numerous biblical prophecies, I've been watching to see when those things might find their final fulfillment. And presently, I'm thinking that that time is about now, Jimmy. I think that the military wars are about to happen that conclude the Arab-Israeli conflict.
Let's talk about kind of where we are now and kind of progressing forward. Now, so the Psalm 83 war is a war between Israel and their surrounding neighbors, okay, their immediate neighbors. And so obviously, you know, we've seen in the news where Israel's now fighting a seven-front war, you know, basically a 360 war. And so talk about the Psalm 83 war and what you believe is going to happen between now and when there is a military result.
Yes, I think there's a sequence of events that are probably going to happen that will conclude with the climactic war, final battle over Judah and Jerusalem in Zechariah 12. But as far as Psalm 83 goes, just for your viewers who are maybe not that familiar with it, have maybe perhaps not seen our prior programs, Psalm 83 talks about a confederacy of the Arab states and terrorist populations within them that surround Israel. It was written about 3,000 years ago by the worship leader of King David, Asaph, but who was also a prophet, we're told in 2 Chronicles 29:30. And he predicted that the time would come where Lebanon, where of course you have Hezbollah, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the Palestinians, in ancient Edom, now the Palestinian refugees today, the Gaza, where the Hamas are, that they would come together in a confederate effort to cut the nation of Israel off, that the name of Israel would be remembered no more. And of course, we saw a precursor of that in 1948, but that did not fulfill the prophecy. So ultimately, we're looking for that prophecy to find a final fulfillment. And when it does, it enables Israel to dwell securely in the midst of the land, a peaceful, tranquil people. They can tear down the walls that they've got inside of Israel and surrounding Israel. And that sets the stage for another big prophecy, Ezekiel 38 and 39, that deals with countries that are from an outer ring of countries, don't share common borders with Israel, including Russia, Turkey, and Iran, and more. And most of your viewers may be familiar with that prophecy. But that prophecy is very important because that's the one that God's going to stop supernaturally. It's too formidable of an offense for Israel to stop it with their defense forces. God will stop it with a great earthquake. That earthquake will cause panic among the troops. It says every man's sword will be against his brother. Then there'll be flooding rains, great hailstones, pestilence, and bloodshed. And of course, the world will know that that was the God of the Jews that did that. And it says after God does that, that he will make his holy name known in the midst of his people Israel. They shall not profane his holy name anymore, and the nation shall know he's the Holy One of Israel. That's in Ezekiel 39:7. But we're not ready for that yet, because Israel does not dwell securely. The walls are still up, and the walls serve their purpose to keep the Psalm 83 countries out from invading Israel. And I think that we're heading now for the final battle in Zechariah 12 that will conclude Psalm 83. And again, this is militarily, not politically. And so what we're seeing in all the hustle and bustle with the international community and all the clamor, put a sense of urgency for a two-state solution so that Israel will normalize relationships with Saudi Arabia and all the Arab states. Well, that's just not going to happen in my estimation.
So at some point in time, there's going to be a diplomatic solution with the Antichrist. And there's going to be this answer man that comes on the scene. He makes a false peace with Israel that obviously he breaks 3.5 years into it. And you see that happening in the future pretty good. I mean, in other words, if there's going to be a Psalm 83 war and then peace, do you see the Gog-Magog war happening before the Antichrist or after?
I see Psalm 83 preceding Ezekiel 38, and I see Ezekiel 38 preceding the tribulation period for several reasons. One reason, not the primary one, was the one I just talked about. God is going to make his holy name known in the midst of his people Israel, so that he's going to give the world official notice that he's the God of Israel, the covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promise-keeping God who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe he's going to do that before the Antichrist comes on the scene and tries to manipulate and influence people otherwise, thinking they should worship him and take his mark of the beast. So I think that's one of the reasons. The other reason I think it's pre-tribulation, and many of my colleagues would agree with this, is we're given a detail in Ezekiel 39 after that supernatural defeat of the enemies, that the Jewish people will be burning the weapons that these enemies bring forward, converting them into fuel for a 7-year period. Now, when you understand that 7 years, as it would align itself in end times prophecies, if the Ezekiel 38 battle was defeated and stopped 3.5 years prior to the 7-year tribulation period, they'd have 3.5 years to start converting those Russian weapons to fuel. And then the first half of the tribulation, after they've signed, the Antichrist has confirmed a covenant with Israel for a 7-year period. We find that out in Daniel 9:27 and Isaiah 28:15, this covenant. Then the first half of that 7-year tribulation period, Israel's dwelling in peace. Now, it's a pseudo peace because it's going to be violated at the mid part of the tribulation period when the Antichrist comes on the scene, invades Jerusalem, and goes into the temple and does the abomination of desolation. At that point, even Jesus Christ says in Matthew 24:15, that the Jewish people should flee immediately into the desert, into the mountains, which would be southern Jordan, the Petra area, because Zechariah 13:8 would then come, where the Antichrist will try to commit genocide of the Jews. And it says in Zechariah 13:8 that 2/3 of the Jews will be cut off in all the land. 1/3, we're told in verse 9, will become a remnant that will make it through. So in my estimation, they could burn weapons and convert it to fuel for the first 3.5 years before the tribulation, the first 3.5 years in the first part of the tribulation. But in the second half of the tribulation, they're fleeing. They're not fighting. If anything, they're going to grab a weapon to defend themselves and not convert it to fuel.
Well, in other words, looking at the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, for the first 3.5 years, there are no wars. They're at peace. The second half, there's no victories. In other words, they're running for their lives. There's not this, you know, in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, God miraculously prevails, and the God of Israel is known throughout the earth. That doesn't happen during the tribulation, the first half or the second half. And I agree with you on that. Well, let's go back. You know, the Israel is under incredible pressure from the world, and now the Biden administration is also ratcheting up the pressure, telling Israel when this Hamas war is over with, including a ceasefire before they invade Rafah, that the United States is ready to unilaterally recognize the Palestinian state. 139 nations of the United Nations already recognize the Palestinian state. And so America is now saying that we're ready to do that. I believe it was last Sunday, the cabinet, Netanyahu's cabinet, voted that they would not recognize any recognition of a two-state solution by the rest of the world. So this is They're under a lot of pressure. So you think that this is an opportunity now for the Israeli Defense Forces to kind of take over?
Well, like I said, I don't think there's any way to turn back the clock now with the prophecies. The stage has been set for quite some time. But at this point, I think that we're going to find the fulfillment of Psalm 83, probably Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus, maybe Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 34 through 39, where we see a disaster in the west coast side of Iran, another prophecy involving Iran versus Ezekiel 38. So I do see these things all coming into play. The push of the Biden administration is just putting lipstick on the same political pig. In other words, Clinton tried to do it in Camp David in 2000. That failed miserably when Ehud Barak was the prime minister and Yasser Arafat was in charge of the Palestinian Authority. George Bush tried that same, followed those same failed presidential footsteps, 2006, 2007 time frame. John Kerry, as the Secretary of State in 2013, 2014, tried the same thing with the Obama administration. This is nothing new. In order for Saudi Arabia to normalize relationships, they're going to ask for a two-state solution. That's the big carrot. They want Saudi Arabia to join the Abraham Accords and normalize relationships with Israel. But they're going to force the Arab Peace Initiative of 2002, which they put forward, Saudi Arabia, which has some real no-goes for Israel. And it includes a new problem, too. The new problem, and I'll explain the other prerequisites of the Arab Peace Initiative, is that they want a lot of the settlements in the West Bank to be abandoned, which, of course, was the problem. That's what the problem with the Gaza in 2005 was. They abandoned the Gaza, and now look what they had to do to survive. They went through the massacre. Now they're fighting inside the Gaza to try to, you know, have security in the nation. But it also calls for an East Jerusalem to be the capital of the Palestinian state, a right of return of the Palestinians back into all of Israel proper, not just the West Bank. And also for Israel to concede the land that they acquired in the Six-Day War of 1967. So in other words, give us land and we'll give you peace, as if Saudi Arabia is going to be able to control and normalize. And the carrot on this is that Saudi Arabia says, well, the Arab states will start to normalize relationships with Israel and be at peace with them. But there's no way that Saudi Arabia is going to be able to contain and control the vast majority of Muslims that absolutely hate Israel.
Absolutely.
There's no way that's going to happen.
Okay, Bill, we'll pick up there in just a second. Let me say, if you're watching right now and you're not a subscriber to endtimes.com, I want you to become a subscriber. And right now we have a 7-day free trial that you can sign up for endtimes.com. Try us out for 7 days. You can see the full Tipping Point show that you're watching today without ads. Also on Thursday, we have Mark Hitchcock, who is one of the greatest end times experts in the world today. He has a podcast here on endtimes.com every Thursday. Brian Schrager from Israel every Tuesday. I give a prophecy perspective every Monday. We answer questions every Friday. And I have a devotional that comes out every Sunday. We have all kinds of things that come out all week long to keep you encouraged, to keep you blessed and educated on what's happening in the world today, especially related to the end times. So go to endtimes.com right now, sign up for a free trial for 7 days. And after the 7 days, if you want to stay with us, it's $7 a month. It's the best $7 I believe that you could ever spend to keep yourself encouraged in the severe times that we're living in times when Bible prophecy is coming true right before our eyes. $7 a month, but you have a 7-day free trial right now at endtimes.com. Let's go back to Bill. And Hamas is extremely popular among all Palestinians, not just in Gaza. And the Palestinians want Hamas to rule them rather than the Palestinian Authority. Can you imagine a worse nightmare for Israel than to recognize, to have a state recognized alongside of them, which now puts Hamas in East Jerusalem, in the West Bank, and in Gaza? So it's just a nightmare. Well, let's go to Zechariah 12, Bill. And so you have I so much appreciate your perspective on all end time prophecy. But Zechariah 12 through 14 is a very, very important end time prophecy. Give us what you're looking at related to the fulfillment of that.
I will. And I want to caveat that what I'm about to say as I go through these first six verses of Zechariah 12, that most scholars for the ages and even today believe that what I'm about to say is related to Armageddon, or I believe it's not. I believe it's a separate and entirely different siege that takes place inside of Judah and Jerusalem versus the one that happens in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, which is dealing with all the nations that captured Jerusalem in that those passages. And time permitting, we can compare that. So what I'm about to do is lay out the first six verses as I interpret them. I ask your viewers not to take my word for it, but at the same token, I do think this could be actually what we should be watching for. I think it will lead to the final solution of the conflict of the Arab-Israeli, you know, age-old conflict. And I think that we're heading toward that in the very near future. So what it says in Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3, verses 2 says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling," or in some nation, in some in translations, intoxication, unto all the peoples round about the surrounding nations, when they lay siege, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. So we have a siege that's forthcoming, and it's not involving any, all the nations of the world. It's involving the surrounding nations. Every translation that you look at will tell you it's involving the surrounding nations. And the Hebrew word is sabiev. And it clearly talks about the neighborhood, the neighbors about around Israel. The surrounding nations at some point are going to lay a final siege against Judah and Jerusalem. Now, it's going to be an unsuccessful siege, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But that is what they're going to do. Remember, Jerusalem is the third holiest city in Islam. Of course, it's where the Temple Mount is, and the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And even though it's not mentioned one time in the Quran, they still hold fast to the fact that that's their third holiest city. Now, when this siege takes place, the international community is going to go in an uproar and meddle. And it says in the next verse, "And in that day I shall make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, all that burden themselves with it," all those that meddle, the United Nations, the international community, etc., "that meddle with it, shall be cut into pieces, though all peoples of the earth will be gathered," or in some translations, "assembled against it." So what I see happening there is that the Arab states, the surrounding peoples, are going to make a final ditch effort to take over Israel, namely Judah and Jerusalem, the capital. And they're going to try to lay siege, and they're going to have support, the full support of the international community to do that. The international community is going to meddle. God's saying, don't do that. I'm making Jerusalem a cup of trembling. I'm making it a cup of trembling. Don't get involved. It's going to be a burdensome stone. If you attempt to, it will sorely wound you or cut you into pieces in some translations. So that's what the stage is being set for. Now we currently see, I'm going to give you an example. This is where most people would say, well, it says all nations, Bill, in verse 3. Why can't they be all the nations in Zechariah chapter 14 or Joel 3 or Armageddon in Revelation 19 or Revelation 16? And I'll give you some quotes in a moment. But I think what we need to understand here is there's, in modernity, there's precedence for the international community meddling with Judah and Jerusalem, especially Jerusalem. I'll talk a little bit about the history, if I can, Jimmy, and then we'll see how it's more than intensified now than ever, like you mentioned, with the Biden administration and the whole world clamoring for a two-state solution. But we start back in 1947 with UN Resolution 181, which was the partition plan, which called for Israel to become a nation. The United Nations approved that. 1948, of course, the Arabs didn't vote for Israel to become a nation. They voted against it. And they went to war against Israel in 1948, but in the UN Resolution 181, it called for Israel to be restored as a nation, but Jerusalem was to be an international zone. They were already meddling even back when Israel became a nation. Of course, in 1967, the Six-Day War, Israel won that war. Egypt, Jordan, and Syria had joined from the Psalm 83 countries, and Israel won that war in 6 days. And they took over all of Jerusalem. Well, excuse me, let me backtrack. After the war in 1948, I got ahead of myself. There was the armistice agreement where they actually divided Jerusalem in half. Israel won the war in 1948. Jerusalem got divided in half the first time ever, and that's not biblically endorsed. Jerusalem is never to be a divided city. And it didn't last more than 20 years because in 1967, going back to what I was saying, in the Six-Day War, Israel won and took over all of Jerusalem, and no longer was it a divided city. However, Israel made the colossal mistake of giving control of the Temple Mount to Jordan, the WAQF, W-A-Q-F, Antiquity Society. So we already see meddling has gone on in 1948, 1949, 1967. We saw the presidents of America, we talked about this earlier, trying to create a two-state solution. And now it's come to a fever pitch where they want to make Jerusalem the, you know, divide Jerusalem and give it a two-state solution and give East Jerusalem to the Palestinians as a capital. Now, that's only going to get worse when this siege happens. The international community is going to be, it appears to be, they're going to side more and more with the attackers, the Arab countries that surround Israel. And God says, don't do that. It'll be a burdensome stone.
Now, Bill, how can people get more information about your ministry? Where do they go?
Well, thank you, Jimmy. It's been wonderful to do this show with you, as usual. They can reach me at prophecydepot.com, Prophecy Depot, like Home Depot. Got videos that I've done, some of yours we've got on there. We've also got a YouTube channel. If you search YouTube under Bill Salus, S-A-L-U-S, or Prophecy Depot, D-E-P-O-T. And subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. We're growing there with all kinds of videos. I've got articles and things, my books, and we have a product online bookstore there. The Future War Prophecies, my latest book, is available there with the DVD, and that's prophecydepot.com.
Well, you've got some fantastic books and DVDs. I really encourage everybody to go on your site there, your YouTube channel. Bill, thank you. You're a dear friend, and thank you for being with me today, and we'll have you on again in the future. You're always a great comfort and encouragement in these times, kind of helping us to understand what's going on. God bless you.
God bless you, Jimmy.
Hey, listen, if you're watching this right now on YouTube and you're not a subscriber to endtimes.com, I want you to become a subscriber. Go there, endtimes.com, for $7 a month. You can become a subscriber. You get everything that we do here at endtimes.com. We have several podcasts every week. I answer questions. I give devotionals. I give perspective. In these severe times that we're living in, it's just good to have someone to encourage you and educate you on constantly changing events that are happening in the world right now. Go to endtimes.com. We have a 7-day free trial if you want to check us out. If not, just go ahead and sign up. $7 a month. It will bless you. It will bless us. We love it when people become subscribers because you give us the financial basis through which we can continue coming back to you and also expand this ministry. Thank you for joining me today. I'll see you again next time.